My name is Garrett. I'm an alcoholic. And, I thank God every day, man, for my life. I'm very grateful to be out here sharing my experience, strength, and hope. Thank you, Caitlin, for coming out and for that drive, you know, for trudging. And I love being amongst my people. And I love walking in. I walked into the little room next to us, you know, and I see the people outside. And I see a lot of people with the, you know, with all this enthusiasm, you know. They're talking about, you know, whatever they're talking about. But everybody's laughing and smiling and giggling. And they're talking about their day or their week. And they're talking about their commitments or the program. And it's like you get this motivation of enthusiasm. Like I couldn't imagine walking in and everybody was just sitting there just looking at one another. But I walked in and it was like a room full of enthusiasm, you know. And then I walked in, you know, you got the coffee. And you got people doing the commitments. You got people greeting out there and stuff like that. And if it wasn't for that, you know, type of meetings that, you know, that I wouldn't come back. If I didn't come up and people didn't give me, you know, a handshake or a hug or you know, if there wasn't like, there wasn't any enthusiasm, man. And that enthusiasm to me, man, is one with God. And anybody that has that is enthusiastic about their recovery just means that maybe they found a higher power, you know, through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. I know I have. And I know when I come into places like this and I carry a message of hope and I carry a little bit of this language of the heart, man. It all comes through that enthusiasm, man. I stayed here long enough inside the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, man. My sobriety day is 3/17/2013. I'm forever grateful for that day. My home group, man, is the Raptors in Santa Clarita. We're open daily. We got meetings at morning. We got meetings in the afternoon. We got mornings in the evening. We do an Alcathon every single year, you know. And number one thing of all, man, is I got me a sponsor, because I, to this day, with the amount of time I have, still don't know how to live life, man. I still just don't know. I still get stumped, man, as my life gets bigger and my AA gets bigger and stuff comes out my way. I just get stumped, man. And I'm a sure and a general. I'm going to take this jacket off because I feel like it's choking me out. And and I'm going to pass it on. And I'm going to tell you, like, I'm very passionate about this program. I'm very, like, I'm in love with this program. Like, it's like something, like, when I was just telling my friend, man, like, when I'm born and raised out here in the Antelope Valley, you know, like, I come out here and I drive around during the daytime and it's just like, oh, man, it's, you know, this is my hometown. But I'm going to tell you this something, when I come out here and I drive around at night, it's like memory lane, you know, like, it's like, I'm like, man, all of a sudden, like, stuff's popping up at me. Like, I was coming down Avenue L, and I was, you know, I'm coming through Quartz Hill, I see my high school, and I'm coming down Avenue L, and I look over, and I see this palm tree, right? And I was like, damn, that's a palm tree I've been inside with a machete, you know what I'm saying, at like 6 a.m. in the morning, you know, and I'm like, dude, I remember that palm tree, you know, And I drive a little further, and I drive a little further, and I get over here, man, and it's just like memory lane, dude. And born and raised, dude. Like I come from that alcoholic dad and that drug and alcoholic mom, and I got the best of both worlds. I went to Valley View, Quartz Hill Elementary, Quartz Hill High School, you know, like you know, and I my parents got divorced. I stayed with my mom, and like it was just like one of those things, man. I didn't think anything was wrong. My mom got into these abusive relationships with these men, and I alcohol and drugs were involved, and like I was that kid running from the house to the liquor store calling the cops, man, because everything at home was just falling apart, man. And I go home and she'd kick him out, you know, just, you know, he's gone for good. And she hugged me and she's like, I hope you're never this type of man. And then 2 days later, I come home from school and he's back on the couch, you know. And then it happened with another guy and another guy. And then this pattern just kept on happening, man. And before you know it, man, you know, I was out there, and those guys that she had around are the guys that I became. You know, and I was out there, you know, and I say from that, by the time I dropped out of school when I was 14 years old, I went and made a life there on the streets. I felt like I was too big and too large. Like I was introduced to this. I just loved running the streets as a kid, and I continued to run in the streets. And by the time I was, you know, 16, 17 years old, I lived out there. We lived on this ranch, and I lived a little further out, and it was good. Like my high school friends would come over with some peppermint schnapps, you know, and like we ride our dirt bikes with no lights, and we shoot each other with BB guns, and we light bonfires, you know, like, and it was like we'd go to school the next day, and it'd be like, dude, that was so nice, you know. It was. I wasn't thinking about a hangover. I wasn't thinking about responsibilities, you know. Like I was like, I couldn't wait to do it again. Like we ride our bikes and stuff. Like we get on our bikes and we ride from. I lived on eight. I read from Avenue A to like Avenue D, you know, and like, you know, and like, and back, you know, like, and it was nothing, you know. And by the time I was 17 years old, I picked up in the YA. By the time I was 19 years old, I was headed to a level 4 prison, you know, and I was sitting on this level 4 Tatchby. I was on the 4-yard in Tatchby State Prison, you know, and I wasn't thinking I had a problem. I wasn't thinking that I was, like a drink or anything, you know. I was sitting there with a couple guys I knew from times before, and he took me to this place. It was a meeting hall inside the yard, you know, and there was a panel, and it was really cold that night. And I remember walking inside there, and, I sat in the very back. I had my arms crossed, you know, my legs probably crossed, you know, and the thing is, as mad as I probably sat there and I drank their coffee, I looked, man, and these four people shared, man, girls and guys, and they shared a story, man, and I related to everything they said about the pain, the misery, you know, the joy, that where their life was, and like what happened. And but I didn't understand like that. I didn't understand that like I couldn't do that by myself. And I definitely didn't have the courage to walk up to somebody and ask them if he could help me, because I thought I knew how to do it. You know? And for the next 10 years, man, that was my life. I get out, man, and I remember I'd be getting ready to get out. Like they make me a toilet paper bird cage with a parrot in it, you know, dyed with Kool-Aid and stuff, and we let it out the gate, and I'd get on this bus, you know, and everybody'd be like, man, it's like you're free. And I'm going to tell you, I felt everything but free when I walked off the yard in prison. And I know the first thing that I grab every time I got off that bus, man, is I take that $200 gate money and I go grab me a drink. And I take this drink, and by the time I got back to my hometown, the first thing I was putting something else in my system. And I get stuck in the cycle, man, and then all of a sudden, within 2 weeks, a month, or a year, man, I was right back to where I left, and I kept on this repetitive cycle. And, you know, 2003 is coming along. I'm out from my second term in prison. I get a girl pregnant. I'm like, you know, I'm really going to do it for this, you know, for my kid. I'm going to do it, man. And I sat at the hospital, and I looked at my kid's mom in the eyes, and I said, I'll be right back. And I meant it, man. Like, I meant it. Like, I really was just going to go downstairs and smoke a cigarette, man. But what happened is I went downstairs and I smoked that cigarette. And I was like, damn, I'm going to go to Bob's Liquor real quick. And the next thing I know, it was 3 days later, my mom's calling me. She let me know I had a little baby girl. You know? Time would go by, and I really thought, man, I have my stuff together, man. Like, I looked this little girl in the eyes, and, like, I tell her things like, you know, I'll be right back, you know. I build this trust up with this little girl, and, like, she starts sitting next to me. She starts hanging out with me. Like, she starts calling me dad again. And then I'd be like, why don't you go watch a movie, and I'm going to run to the store real quick, and I want to be back for 3 more years. You know, and I kept on going on, man. Like, I had 168 traffic tickets and never owned a car. I had no, I mean, I owned somebody's car, but it wasn't mine. I mean, you know that right now. And, like, you know, I had no upper teeth, you know. Actually, if you've been locked up, man, they called me P-38, you know. And if you know what that is, it's a can opener, you know, and because I had 1.5 teeth in the top of my mouth. I had long hair I didn't like to comb. I didn't know my shoe size, my pant size. Like I didn't care about none of that stuff. I didn't care about a shower. I didn't care about hygiene. I didn't care about a place to stay. Like I cared about drinking, man. Like I wanted a drink was my solution to all my problems. And you know, I remember I'm fighting a case, and that little girl's 5 years old, and my mom, man, she's you know, she, you know, I come out downstate, I go to the county jail, I get a visit, man, and I remember walking into this visiting aisle, man, and this little girl sitting there in this window, and she has her hand on the glass. And my mom standing behind her, and I walk in there and I turn, because I thought, you know, what I really thought, I thought it was one of those girls out there coming to visit me, you know. They knew I was back in town, but when I walked out there, it was my daughter. And she's 5 or 6 years old, and she's inside this, she's on this little window, she has her hand up on the glass, and I got instantly built up with like anger. And I looked at my mom and I said, "How could you do this to me?" And she was like, "Do what?" I was like, "How could you bring this little girl right out to, you know, how could you do this?" You know, and she grabbed that phone fully and she said, "This little girl loves you no matter what. And I brought her here to see her dad." For an alcoholic like me, I didn't understand what that meant. Because the one person I didn't love myself, and how can I allow somebody else to love me if I can't, or how can I love somebody else if I can't love myself? And, you know, things happen, the same old cycle, same old stuff, gives me the same old results, you know, and I finally go to a treatment center, and a treatment center is way better than prison, let me tell you. And, I got to a treatment center and I was like, "Oh, I have arrived. Like, this is like co-ed. There's girls here right now. Where are they at?" You know? And then I was just like, you know, I remember sitting on one side and the girls be on the other, you know, and they'd done time too. So we're all sign language to each other, you know, like, "Meet you in the closet," you know, and, no, and like, and this is the thing. It's funny, at a treatment center, they'll have like girls on one side and guys on the other, and then they'll have the laundry room right in the middle. You know, like, you know, "You doing laundry on Friday?" "Yeah, me too." This happens, you know, and I went to this treatment facility, man, and it was great. Like they, you know, they'd be like, "You know, these are the steps. You know, these are the groups. These are the meetings," and I read these 12 steps. I read the 12 traditions. I sort of just skim through and find out what I really liked and what I didn't like. And then I, you know, and I go to these meetings, and it'd be about the same size as this, and you know, and girls on one side, guys on the other, you know, and you know, and they bring in some people, and they would share, man. And once again, I would identify with the feelings and emotions and everything that's going on, man. And you know, and I really thought, man, I thought. You know, I was there for 5 months, and I really thought I had it. I had it, man. Like, I swore, like, when I got out, man, like, I'm good. And I rode up from Pomona back out here to the AV courthouse. I rode, you know, got on, like, an early Metrolink ride, and, like, there was something indescribable inside of me that I couldn't exchange, man. And it wasn't like I was hungry and I wasn't tired and I wasn't like sleepy or nothing like that, man. What it was is like I had this thing called an alcoholism, man. And deep down inside me, I really wanted to drink, because I sat there in the treatment center and I worked on the outsides, you know. I wanted to look my best every single meeting. I wanted to sound good every single meeting. I wanted to do good, and I wanted to be like in all those little groups. I wanted to be right here. I wanted to be the teacher's little pet, you know. And I did everything but work on the inside. And the first thing I did when I got off that thing is I took a drink. And I sat there and I didn't know why, man. For me to drink is for me to use, and for me to use isn't for me to go to jail. And I'm sitting there in a jail one more time. I'm in this concrete gymnasium, and I'm sitting there up against a wall that I must have sat on at least 25 times. And nothing's changed there, man. And it was like something inside of me, deep down inside of me, man. Like I was really tired. I was really tired. But wouldn't let me, man. It was like this. It's like I had this car. It was a 1977 Toyota Celica. I love this car. I bought it when I was 15, man. I bought it from, like, you know, a little drug deal that went sideways, you know. And I bought this car, and I'm gonna tell you, like, a lot of times I treated it bad. Like, I drank, and I didn't use the clutch when I shifted. I slammed the door, like, punch it, you know. Like, I beat it up, you know. Like, the car loved me anyways. It always started up. It always ran. It always got me where I needed to go. And, like, and I would wake up, you know, and you gotta believe me, I think I got at least 35 tickets in this car. And this car was so broken and beaten, they would just tell me to leave it, man. The thing is, I couldn't leave it, you know. I go a couple blocks down the street, and I'd be like, I'm going to go get it. I'm going to go get it, you know. And then I go to Walmart, and I buy some more spray paint, and I sit in the backyard and some other stuff, and I spray paint it all night, you know. And, you know, and I wake up, eating given morning, I wake up, man, and I come out of the house, usually, you know, the trap house, whatever house I was staying at, and I come out, and I see this car, and I'd be like, it's horrible. I couldn't stand. I was mad at it. The same way I was just mad at my mom when I see her behind that glass. Like, I hated it, and I get in it, man, and, like, I never pulled a key out of my pocket. I always pulled a screwdriver, and I start it up, you know, and I slammed the door and do whatever I had to do to get it to work. I drive down to the liquor store, you know, and I get me a 40, and I drive over, you know, to where, you know, the Connect's house, my friend's house, whoever was awake, and I park down the street because I had, you know, that was the car. You're like, Garrett, please don't park your car near my house. I'd be like, what's wrong with it, you know, I walk over to your house, and I drink, and we party, you know, and it seemed like the sun start going down, and all of a sudden, you know, like, that's the time, you know, like, I feel like I had to be somewhere, and I walk out, and I see this car, and I'd be like, that's a classic, dude. I look at it with a whole different perception, you know, and I'd be like, it's a classic, dude, and, like, I come up, and, like, I rub my fucking finger over the trunk, and I slapped the back window, and I go up to the door, and, like, it was like I didn't even have to knee it. Like, it opened with ease and comfort, you know. And I get inside of it. I get inside of it, man, and I start it up, man, and it was like a mechanic worked on the car the whole time I was gone, dude. You know? And this is even crazier, because most of the time none of my wheels matched on the car. Tires and wheels. I was lucky to have two on the same side match, you know, but for sure all four of them did it. But it's solid. Like, all of a sudden I get into it after I drink a little bit and did a little bit of other stuff, and I start driving it, and it felt like all my tires were equal. And I'm gonna tell you, man, that's how it is. Every time I drink alcohol, man, is everything that is a problem in my life. The more I drink, the more all that stuff is just okay in my life. I didn't talk to my family for 20 years. You know, my dad, I you know, like, whatever it is, like, he picked me up from jail a couple times. You know, I told him the same thing I told everybody. I'll be there. I never show up. My mom, my drinking partner for life, my using partner for life. We drink and use. Like, that's where all of us gangsters go when we get in trouble. My mom, like, it was always there. But I didn't talk to my sisters. I didn't talk to that daughter. I didn't talk to nobody in my family. I lived a life out there on the streets. I was dying of alcoholism. By the time it came through, man, I went to treatment center after treatment center. I went to term after term in prison. Like, I could not get it. Not only could I not get it, because I didn't want it. I was like, man, I'll just die. Like, I'm perfectly fine dying the way I was, man. I got out December 28th of 2012. I'm staying in Lancaster here. I was out for the next 45 days. I'm over here on Kane, gassing down the street. On Valentine's Day, I'm in a shootout on the streets, man. I got track marks from my from my ankles up to my neck, all the way down my arms. I'm shooting heroin. I'm shooting heroin and speed with vodka inside the bathroom to shove on down the street. And I really just gave up on life. I'm out there. I'm living in the bushes and in the Joshua trees. I'm tired of living my life, man. I call my mom. I'm like, Mom, like, this and that. She picks me up, she gives me my medicine, and she drops me off at the liquor store on the Avenue I and 15th Street West, and an off-duty officer recognizes me walking from there to my hideout, right, a couple houses from there, and they raid the house, man. I get arrested one more time. Getting arrested in me was nothing, man. Like, I felt like getting arrested saved me every single time. And I go and do this walk that I know too well, man. Like, I go in there and be like, give me two blankets, man. And they fingerprint me later, you know. I had those hands that they had to put, like, oil and oil and oil. And they sit there and rub them. Like, all right, just fingerprint you now. And rub them, you know. And they just couldn't get a reading. They rub them, all right. Put more of this stuff on them, you know. And I, damn, they were just dry. And I'd be nodding out. I'd be, like, hitting the thing, you know. And I'd be like, they'd be holding me up, you know. And they put me in there, and I'd be like, please, I'd be begging them, like, please, just give me 24 hours, man. I just want to sleep. And what happened, man, is that I got arrested, and I went to jail, and they sent me to yet another treatment center. And on March 17th of 2013, I walk into a treatment center. And I had a little bit of AA. I knew what the program was, but I didn't really want it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm in that position we all been in, man. And I got everything I own at this time. I got a light blue jumpsuit. I got some Fight Alive shower shoes, some bright green boxers. I got a clear envelope with some Inogen envelopes and some pencils and tooth powder and stuff. And I'm sitting there, man. And I'm in that position, like, you know, I'm praying, but I'm just like, man, how did I get here again? Again, and through the door, man. You know, a guy came through the door. I look up. It's a guy. It's my friend Levi. And Levi comes up to me. He's like, "Hey, big bro, so good to see you." And I just stood up. I didn't even say nothing. I just stood up. And he just walked over to me, man. And he gave me this big old warm welcoming hug into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was like, you knew what I was thinking, man. He said, "Man, he said, Garrett, man, big bro, so good to see you." He's like, "I really hope you stay." It's never anything that ever somebody ever says here in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, man. It's like this man just came up and he just hugged me. And he said, "I wish you would stay." And at that moment, man, this gave me some hope that maybe I should just stay. And I walked into this office and I went to this counselor, and I was like, you know, I was doing this intake, and I was like, you know, I'm gonna stay. With conditions, though, you know, like, look, I'm not all the way there yet, you know, like, I want, there's a lot of guys out here, and I'm the biggest one. Like, I need to go to the donations room, you know, like, I need to be first in the donation room, because all those little guys take all my clothes, dude. All those little guys have all the big pants and with the big shirts, and by the time I get up there in that donation room, it's all larges and extra larges, and none of that stuff fixed me. And I'm walking through treatment center, and I'm looking all sexy and stuff, and then I go inside there, and this is what I learned at a treatment center, man. I learned this is that I had a lot of cleanup to do. I didn't know nothing about a bank account or credit or like a driver's license or getting a job or like, you know, I didn't know nothing about living life. Not one bit, man. Like, I did not know. Like, I, not only that, like, I was doing fraud on my own account. Like, I was in a bad spot, man. I got my first bike. I got a California ID. I got a social security card. I went down. I got a birth certificate. You know, all those things that, like, a lot of people have, but they see, I never had none of this stuff, you know? And I'm in there, and they started showing me, I'm doing these groups, I'm doing all this stuff, and I'm at a meeting one night, and, you know, me and Levi, man, like, we buddied it up, man. I was just, like, Levi was like, let's go to this meeting, man, like, this and this and that, and Levi's getting time. Levi could quote the book, man, the pages, chapter 3, chapter 5, and knew it on the spot, man. I loved it. I envied it, man. I'm watching Levi, and Levi, man, his recovery's getting good. He's getting his job. He's getting, like, you know, he's getting ready to graduate. You know, he got all of his chips, all even past 18 months and stuff, man. He's like golden. In my eyes, I'm looking at Levi, and he's like golden, you know? You know, and We're at these meetings one night, and this guy's sharing, and I went up to him, man, and I asked him to be my sponsor. And this guy, man, would come to the treatment center I was at, and he'd sit in the lobby with me, and he'd just read the book. And he'd say, I'll be here next week at the same time, and he'd show up exactly when he said he would show up. And we start reading this book, and he'd be like, hey, he'd be like, do you understand that word, like altruistic? I'd be like, I know, yeah, I know what that means, you know. He'd be like, let's look it up, you know, let's look it up, you know. And just like you said, man, like we prayed when it said prayed, and we wrote when it said work, you know. And he took me to this spot, man. It was like a Paula Park out there, and you know, it was with benches, it was ducks, man, and we did this fist up. And it was like something happened. I don't know, but like I really felt like I wanted to live more than I wanted to die. I'll tell you, man, like I the kindness of this man, just being a pure example of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. He introduced me to like my first commitment, a fellowship, you know, meetings on regular nights, you know. He got me into the book. You know, and we used to go to this meeting, Shepherds on the Hill meeting on Thursday nights, and we sit there, and there was this guy across the street living in a shop, you know, with a shopping cart, the cardboard top, all this little, you know, little. And we sit there, and this guy from the treatment center would talk crap about that guy. Oh, look at that dude over there, man, you know. And I asked, you know, my sponsor would walk up, and he'd be like, why don't you go inside and get him a cup of coffee and some cake, and then take it over there to him. And for the next 8 months, man, every Thursday I'd take that guy a fresh cup of coffee, not the day old. And I'd take him a piece of cake, man, and I just, you know, some days he'd take it, some days he'd want it. And it's very, it's vital, man, to us, man, to do that work around here in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was in that treatment center for 18 months, and I loved it, man. Like it just gave me like it sort of just, I felt like I stayed there, and I was able to do like I was able to do these DUI classes, and I was able to, you know, give me a little start getting and, you know, back into work and doing all this stuff, a driver's license, all this basic stuff that a person needs for once they get out. And it was like the first thing I ever graduated in my life. It was the first time I ever had a steak and lobster dinner. My whole life. And I'll talk about Levi, man. And I love Levi to death. To this day, I love Levi. He was from out here, too. And I envy Levi, man. Like, I had Levi on this pedestal here, you know. And Levi, man, he was so shiny, man. He had like the Chevy S10 truck. He had a nice paying job, and I watched him graduate the program. I watched his parents just like give him a bonus round and everything else, you know. He come there, new clothes, new stuff, everything. He had all the goodies, you know. I watched him as he graduated and get out of class, and I remember I get me a cell phone, you know, and I'm on my beach cruiser that I bought from my counselor for $25 with a backpack full of my coffee commitment, and I'm riding over to the Shepherds on the Hill meeting, and I'm riding my bike, and I'd be calling Levi, and I'd be like, Levi, man, it's Thursday night, you coming, should I shave you a seat? He'd be like, you know what, man, he's like, man, my job got me working double tonight, man, I can't make it this Thursday, next week I'll be there for sure. And I'd call him again next week, man, I'd be like, Levi, you coming this next week, man, you said you'd be here this week. And he'd be like, man, you know what, I forgot to take my girl on the date night last week, and we're going on one tonight, man, I'm gonna have to get, you know, I'm gonna have to miss this one, but next week I got it, man. And after the third week, and he denies it, and the fourth week he denies it, man, I just stopped calling Levi. And then I'm sitting there at the Starbucks, man, and I'm doing my DUI classes. I was ashamed, man. I just couldn't, like, you know, like I parked my bike a couple blocks down. I walk over to the Starbucks, you know, and I get me a Starbucks, and I walk over to my class, and I'm sitting there at the Starbucks, you know, and I'm just sitting there, man, and I'm, you know, people are talking to me. I'm figuring out how to order that stuff. I'm like, you know, give me a medium, you know, drip. I'm like, drip? What are you talking about? Drip? No, just like a large, you know, coffee. You want this, that? I'm like, creamer? They're like, this creamer or this or that, all this different stuff. I didn't know none of that lingo. And I'm sitting out there drinking this coffee before my class. And I look over and I see Levi. And he says, hey, big bro, so good to see you, man. He says, can I borrow $5? He's like, I really want to drink. I'm like, fucking Levi, what happened to you, man? Like, his clothes don't fit, his shirt don't fit, he's a disarray. He's like, man, I lost my truck, I lost a job, I lost that girl, and I've been out here, man, I've just been out here just, you know, just drinking. I said, here's $5, Levi. I said, I gotta go to my class right now, but I'll stay here, you know, or stay around, and I want to see you after. And I never saw him after. No, they talk about, man, don't ever put somebody on the pedestal inside the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And don't let the gifts of recovery get in the way of gifts of recovery around here. When we come into meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, we're all the same highs, same height, man. Nobody's higher, nobody's lower. We're in here in a meeting tonight of Alcoholics Anonymous because we don't want to drink today. And they say, the only thing I got to worry about is today. I'm going to tell you about, man, like I'm going to tell you about that family. My dad, you know, my dad came along. I didn't talk to him for 20 years. He came to that treatment center, man. Him and my stepmom, and we mended that family. And I went in there. I did that nine. By that time, I'd done that 9-step process, you know, and the forgiving, you know, started. I started being able to show up on time. I tell you when I'm going to be there. I'll be there. I ride the Metro bus from Whittier all the way to Antelope Valley to see my dad for 30 minutes to take it all the way back, you know. And not only that, man, that little girl that was in that window. You know, like she's staying with my dad at this time. And even though I sat over here and she sat over there, man, she saw me and I just started shooting up and showing up, man. And I just showed up, man. And then one day they're like, you know, and she's like, Dad, you want to go out to eat, Dad? One day you want to go to a movie? And I'm sitting there one night with my dad and he says the one thing, man, I wanted to hear forever so long, man. My dad looked over, he says, Damn, son. He's like, I'm really proud of you. And he says, I love you. And for anybody, man, who's been out there dying and killing themselves out there on the streets, man, like that little bit right there was worth more than any of that material stuff you can ever get. I remember those relationships with my dad, man, all the way up to the moment he died. He died during COVID. I couldn't go in the hospital. I couldn't see him. Like it was just like a horrible thing. The next day I get a call, man, my dad passed away. You know? Thank God I was, you know, connected here in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I always had a reservation for my mom. My mom, you know, like I loved her. Everything, she was, she, you know, my everything. And I'm on a ride to Arizona on my bike. And my sister calls me in the morning. She says, you know, Mom has to go into the emergency surgery right now. She has a brain hemorrhage and they need to operate right now. I'm like, all right, I call her when I get to, like, Hesperia, you know, operation. I call her when I get to Arizona. By the time I get to Arizona, my mom's dead. I had tears in my helmet, man, as I rode my bike. Tears were coming down my helmet, man. And I was surrounded by at least 14 to 15 guys that were in the program. And the miracle is, man, is that I never thought about taking a drink, hit, or a fix and putting it inside my system. I was never in even though I was in pain and I was in the confusion of, like, you know, emotions and all that stuff that I'm not used to going through, man. I didn't want to drink and I didn't want to put something. I felt it, man. And being able to feel your feelings and walk through that stuff here is something that I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, and that little girl. That was, you know, hand on the mirror, man, is she's 21 today. And from the moment I go to my dad's house to visit her until now, I've been consistent in her life. Not only have I been consistent as me and lots of people from the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous have supported her and just done all the parades out here, all their swim meets, all her bands, all their everything. They surrounded her. I take her, and I just, and you know, and you know, when I was out there, and I take her to meetings with me. And it was at the beach, and I'd be like, you know, here, you go surf, and, you know, surf instructions, and then I'm going to go to this meeting, and then we meet up, man. And the greatest thing is that my daughter goes to San Diego. She graduated Pete Knight High School out here, and she goes to San Diego State College now. And my favorite thing to do, man, is that I go out there to visit her, and we get our surfboards, and we go out in the water, and we just sit there, and we have conversations, man. And that those, man, once again, is something that materialness can't buy. And it's all owed from the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous for giving me a second chance at life. Man, I'm going to read something out of the book, man. It says, on page 317, man, it says, when I am willing to do the right thing, I am rewarded with an inner peace no amount of liquor could ever provide. When I am unwilling to do the right thing, I become restless, irritable, and discontent. It is always my choice. Through the 12 steps, I have been granted the gift of choice. I am no longer at the mercy of a disease that tells me the only answer is to drink. If willingness is the key to unlock the gates of hell, it is action that opens those doors so that we may walk freely among the living. Today, as a proud member of Alcoholics Anonymous, I walk freely. You know, and I love it, man. Like my passion, my love, my heart is inside. I'm ingrained. Like, you get life here. They're like, oh, everything's in the one. It's like I worked it from the pyramid down. It's like you got your living over here, and then I got my program for living over here. I can't get the two mixed up. It says it on page 450 and 451. It says, the tides of life flow endlessly up and down, but my recovery must stay the same. Life is life, man. The ups and downs of life, the roller coaster, the highs, the lows. It doesn't matter when I'm doing really good. Like, when I think I'm really doing really good, like job, people, like everything's just like, it's just like everything's flowing together. Like, I have to be at meetings. I have to do work here in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I got to be diligently working in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous with another guy, you know. And on the bad days, I got to do the same thing. Is that I built me, man. They talk about the two lives, man. The life of recovery and then the life after my life of recovery, man. I got two families. I got my family of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I got my family out there that I got because I came here and did the work. I'm truly grateful, man. I love it, man. I got like 5 minutes left, and I love it, man. I was at that treatment center, and I'm at this treatment center, and anybody who goes into a treatment center, it's fun for a guy that's been in a prison, dude. Like, I was having a blast. Like, manipulation at its finest, you know? Like, I was hitting on every counselor, every therapist. I was pushing up on them, you know? Like, I was just like, oh, man, I felt so good, you know? Like, you know? And here, you need to back up, you know? And I'm going to tell you, you know, like, but when I first got there, I got a couple days, you know, like, you know, I'm in a room, I got like six other guys, there's bunk beds, you know, like, you know, and I see this guy, man. This guy has like, he's dressed, man, clean. I don't know what dressing clean is. Like, I don't really know, like, having a clean shirt, clean pants, clean socks, clean underwear, shoes that fit. Like, that's new to me. And I'm sitting there, and I see this guy, and he's dressing, man, and he's sitting there up against the wall on this bunk, man, And I'm like, dude, what's up, dude? I'm like all happy and joyous and free, you know, like new, you know, bumming cigarettes. And he's like, man, he's like, today I'm taking a year. I'm like, damn. Like, how, like, damn, I got like a few days. And he's like, I'm taking a year. Like, it shocked me so bad. I sat down on the bed across from him. I was like, a year? Whew, man. Man, a year. Like, wow, dude. Like, how'd you do it, right? How'd you do it? When he looks at me, he's like, he goes out this little fog and he puts his feet on the ground, you know, and he's like, how did I do it? He's like, well, I came in here a year ago, man. Like, my life was in shambles, you know? I came in here, you know, I did what they told me, and then, you know, not only that, like, I got me a sponsor. I worked the steps. I got into service. I started doing panels. Right? And the next thing you knew, man, he's like, the next thing I know, man, like, it's boom. It's like, I'm taking a year. It's today. And like I couldn't, he's like, my life was completely burnt to the ground, and here I am, man. Like, I feel good. Like, I made those amends, and he's speaking a foreign language to me, but I'm listening, you know. I'm like, damn, I'm like, a year, huh? And he's like, yeah. I was like, man, I got a question, man. I was like, I was wondering, man, like you do you think, like, this is a question when you're new, like, you like, do you think I can get a year? me, right? And he looks at me and he's like, well, he's like, I guess, man, if you got a sponsor, you know, and you work the steps, and you know, and you get a home group and a sobriety day, you know, and you get into service, man. He's like, that service, man, that action, right? If you get into that stuff, he's like, I think, you know, like, you know, I think you can. He's like, you know, like, my sponsor showed me this. And my sponsor said that if I do this, that I would get a year. And this today is that year. He said, you know, he's all, you should do what I do. I said, man, so you think that if I do what you do, I get a year? And he said, absolutely. But you have to do what I do. And my question to anybody here, man, that has over a year, do you think if somebody asked you that question, man, that like if I do what you do, would I get a year? Would you get a year? Man, my life today is beyond my wildest dreams, man. And my life, man, like if I sit and talk about it, man, like it makes me want to cry some days because I'm so full of gratitude because I got a life today. I've been saved with the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, man. My sobriety day is 3/17/2013. My home group is the Raptors. My sponsor, you know, is Dick Kiker. And I'm forever grateful for those 3 days. So thank you for letting me share.